Yeah, this is the day that you have made, and we just thank you, God, for a beautiful sunrise that we can enjoy. I thank you for those wonderful sounds of nature and the breeze in the trees and the birds that sing melodies. You are so good, and you are so full of grace and mercy. I praise you for allowing us to spend another day with our family, and we love you, Jesus. Help us remember what a difference it makes when we prioritize you in the morning, God. Awaken our bodies and spirits every day with a desire to meet with you and hear you speak words of affirmation, assurance, and wisdom over our hearts as we go into the preparations of the day.
Now my neck is starting to hurt.
Why?
I don't know how.
What is that?
Jesus, we say that we would like you to clear our sleepy heads and fill our minds and our hearts and our eyes and our ears with expectation. Awaken our bodies and energize our hearts with love, that we can do love in action. Ignite our spirits and set this day on fire with promise. Make the ordinary extraordinary. Engage us and show us your kingdom. Help us to see that every waking moment is full of promise because of you. We give you all that we are. Please brush away our weariness so we could be inspired in our work. Help us to discover new ways to reveal your love to everybody that we meet. And Lord Jesus, keep our minds clear and focused on everything that we need to achieve, and give us wisdom to overcome difficulties and find solutions. You are with us this day. And Lord Jesus, I just want to remember those people that need healing too, God. I thank you, Jesus, that you wrote down your scriptures and you gave us tools to pray with. You took their infirmities and you bore their sicknesses, and it's with your wounds that we are healed. And I do claim healing. I renounce the spirit of infirmity on all of my family and friends. God, all the people that you know are on my heart. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and there's no demon of infirmity that can have any place in us. We belong to the blood of Jesus. Satan, you cannot get in here. And the same power that heals also drives out those evil spirits. We know that they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So we do testify that we are healed and redeemed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that we can claim that in spirit and in truth. Lord Jesus, we say, Christine, be healed. Grandma, be healed. Mosky, be healed. Cade and Hope, be healed. My family, be kept safe. Kathy, be healed. Coolvy and Gordon, be healed in Jesus' name.
Kathy, I told Kathy that I'm sick and now she's praying.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I missed you last night.
That's nice, Mika.
Also, Dad said that he would call everyone to pray for me, but
he didn't?
I don't know if he did. Did
what, you just let Mom pray?
Do you know if anyone heard Dad say
that? He did last night. Now, will you let Mom pray for me?
I'm not saying he's like,
when she's done praying.
What do you want?
Another family prayer.
Yeah. Okay, let's all go to Cade.
He just interrupted again.
It's okay, we're doing prayer time. He wants prayer. Come on, Daddy.
What's that?
Come on, lay hands on.
Why do you like
down
swimming?
Oh. George wants to swing.
Why do you like down swimming? It's cold.
In Jesus' name, we declare healing on Kate's body. By laying on of hands, we pray for Holy Spirit within us, his body. Jesus, we seek your healing on Kate.
Okay.
There's just no infirmity that can stand against the blood of Jesus, the power of his name. So I say return all health, all health, all health, miraculous healing in his body now. All health return in Jesus' name. And you guys, close your eyes and focus and say in your heart, I send the power of the Holy Spirit into Kate now. Don't. Okay, Hopi. Okay, so we are going back to question one.
What?
Evolution science argues against a recent creation, the younger Earth theory.
Can you tell Kid to come to table?
He's okay, he can stay there. Okay. Kate, are you capable of coming to the table? They think the Earth is too old to think that Earth was created 7 to 9,000 years ago. What did God do in creation to address that argument and satisfy the evolutionary claims of age and a prehistoric era? Okay, his hints are, were Adam and Eve adults or infants? They were adults. What about the animals? Were they just sludge or were they actual animals? Very good. And what about the food?
Not sludge.
It was not sludge. It was actual, like, different kinds of trees and fruits. Okay, the problem with you sitting there is I can't hear you. So you want to come here?
I can
Well, if God created Adam and Eve, and at that point, their bodies were perfect, and he said, I'll give you the trees and the fruits and the vegetables, do you think he would have made them insufficient to support them?
No.
Okay. So maybe it's more true that, hope, don't smush his ear, that through sin, maybe our bodies needed meat then.
Yeah. Oh.
Question two.
Well, Mom, what does meat
mean? Proteins and minerals.
I love protein because I love hummus.
What do they stop? What do they stop? Like, what bad stuff do they stop?
Proteins and minerals? They build muscle. Your body uses them to...
Sometimes I just...
Strengthen your immune system.
You didn't need that back then.
There was no disease. You needed your muscles. But plants and vegetables were sufficient at that point. Anyway.
They can still be sufficient.
Dad, can you please get me?
It's interesting because Dr. Michelle argues that children need meat. Like lean meat.
To it. Certainly.
Okay, question two. What does God mean in Genesis 1:28? God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Oh.
What does that mean? Is God both a man and a woman?
Yep. No.
There's a hint. The image is male and female, which complete each other. The male's incomplete without the female, and vice versa. Some young people today question their gender. Am I really male or female? How does verse 28 answer this problem?
Mm-hmm.
It's right on the screen. How does this question solve the problem? How does this verse solve the question?
I don't know.
Mama, can you please help me get some Christmas?
Daddy, what do you think?
Okay, the question is, today some young people question their gender, saying, am I really a male or a female? But how does the verse of Genesis 1:28 answer that question?
When you are created through processes God has ordained and set forth, that is procreation, it is his plan for you to be who you are. And in his original plan, the way he projects himself is through male and female orientation. And so for you to come out and say, well, no, you made me this way, but I think it's this way, it's just falling into the trap of Proverbs 3. When you start thinking for yourself in that way, you basically are excluding him. You're saying, I don't want you to bless me. I don't want you to be a part of my life. And so, I mean, if you think about it, what is God's image? God's image of himself includes male and female components, right? Man cannot create a woman if there's not a part of him that also is reflected in who she is.
That's good.
Right? I mean, it's not. Anyways, I feel like the first part was the main answer.
That's good. What, Hopi? What'd you say? You don't get it? No. Well, if you reject that you're a boy or a girl as God made you, you're saying God made a mistake. You're saying God's a liar. Right?
Yes.
And this is saying God made them male and female. You could also say he created them male or female. He didn't make a mistake. And Doc is saying the image of God is male and female, and they complete each other. You really need male and female to complete the image of God.
You can also think of it like this. God's original intention was Adam, as he was created from the dust, right? But there was something God recognized. It's not okay for him to be alone. He needs someone else. And so put Adam through transition that led to him being less than what he was originally meant to be in order for him to have a partner. Now, it's not to say that a woman is somehow less than a man. I think they both come together to create what God had originally meant to be his image.
I like how God answered Adam's need for companionship because it also mirrors God's desire for companionship with us.
Sure. But think about it. When a man and woman are in union, they represent now this original image God had.
Mm-hmm.
This original vision that God cast. And so each separately are not achieving the original vision and image. But that's why when you think about man and man being together or a woman and a woman being together, they're perverting God's vision for what he wanted in a companion.
Mm-hmm.
This one was made during World War I.
I like how also God was saying to Adam, I mean, the reason he permitted him to have a mate was because God understood the problem. Oh, yeah. I get that. God is compassionate.
This thing was made during World War I. Mm.
Okay. Okay, so.
The date is 1917. Exactly 400 years after Martin Luther began about his
nation. It's an old penny.
That's why I have it in my special box.
For school.
It's over 100 years old.
That's amazing. Okay.
Right? 2017.
Think about the hands that went into the factory to make it.
Did they factory it or did they press it?
Well, somebody had to run the machines.
Maybe.
What does the tree of good knowledge of good and evil represent in Genesis 2, 15 to 17?
It represents the knowledge of good and evil.
We discussed the covenant of works in the teaching. Think of a brief summary of this covenant you can give if someone asks you what it is. Do you remember that?
God good, we bad, God save us, dumb.
Do you remember?
God good, we bad, God save us. We believe. God save us.
I'm going to say origins class. And then save it there. And then go back and go to... Be quiet, Micah. Okay.
Hi, friends. Thanks so much for joining us. Both male and female. Thus the... Now let's go to chapter 2 because God gets into the specifics of about the man and then his responsibility. Verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The breath of God gives life in his image. So he's breathing his image into this piece of dirt that was formed into the body of a male. Life ends when the breath leaves it. Being in ministry for over 4 decades, I have been at many, many deathbeds, including my own dad's. And when the final life exits, the final breath exits, the life ends. What is it? It is the spirit that entered upon conception, leaving upon death. The body itself dies. The spirit goes on to the next realm.
I need a rag, baby.
Does that make sense to you? Right? And hopefully it goes on to the right realm. We'll talk about that in our series here. Again, our focus, the restoration of the human soul. Now, the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and then he put the man that he had formed in it.
East of Eden.
And he made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground. Trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. Again, created with maturity. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, the man of the...
Okay, so, listen, because the question is about the covenant of works. Okay?
Beautiful environment. There were no storms, there was no snow, no sleet. The tree of life represents life at its highest potential. In other words, eternal life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it is a compound of opposites. It has the knowledge of good and of evil, right? Opposites. In the sense of heaven and earth, fire and ice, night and day, opposites.
Know
here we see God giving the man and the woman opportunity in their free will to exercise moral according to God's design. Remember, mankind is made in a perfect, moral, holy, and intelligent state to choose well. The Lord God put that tree there to allow Adam to use his free will to honor and worship the Lord with his decision in a perfect environment to reflect his holy moral intelligence. This was an act of love from the Lord to give to Adam. The question is, will man assert his own autonomy and want to govern himself apart from God? Or will he walk with him in perfect harmony? Now we get into what theologians call the covenant of works. So God made this, put the man in that garden, and here's what he said to him, verse 15. The Lord took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to work it and care for it. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but one, you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly The word die means to literally die, to figuratively die, listen to this, to die prematurely by neglect of wise moral conduct. He's saying, if you choose unwisely, if you choose immorally, you will bring death. And it is a corporate term. Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment, ready to have their own family. He said, this will be for the human race. You was a representative term. The human race will experience death if you eat from that tree. Don't do it. And so we see the covenant of works. If Adam obeys, then God gives him eternal bliss with him. Right?
Okay.
If Adam obeys, then God will bless
him. So, Cade, what's the covenant of works?
Seen of you.
What's the covenant of works? Doc just said it.
Blessing?
If we obey, what does God do?
He blesses us.
Yes, but if we disobey, what happens?
He makes us die.
Well,
he kills us.
We open our way to sin. And sin is the thing that leads us to death.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sanction for obeying. It was the sanction of death for disobeying. And you notice there was only one restriction on the man in a world of perfection in which Adam knew no suffering or limitations. Right? We're going to see in a minute the brilliance of his mind. And so basically the Lord is asking...
Okay, so that's the covenant of works. I'm going to open the file back. And we're going to go to... Okay. So in your... What's your summary of the covenant of works, guys?
We obey God.
There's two sides to it.
We disobey, God kills us.
God allows sin to kill us. It leads to death. Okay, Cade, what's your summary?
If we obey him, he'll bless us. And if we don't obey him, the sins will kill us.
Yes, very good. Hope, what's your summary of the covenant of works?
I don't really have anything.
No, listen. If you obey God, He blesses us. Listen, He blesses us. Say it the right way. But if you disobey, sin leads to death. It's this agreement. It's a set of spiritual laws.
It's an agreement.
You guys get it? That's what a covenant is. It's like a contract. All right. What did God say dies if Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden tree? What dies?
Adam and Eve. They will.
Okay, let's see.
Adam. Do you love me enough to keep... To die prematurely by neglect of wise moral conduct. He's saying, if you choose unwisely, if you choose immorally, you will bring death. And
okay, so that's...
will experience death if you eat from that tree.
Okay, so did you get it? What would happen? What would die if they ate from the forbidden tree?
Everybody.
Yeah, and the whole human race would experience death. What?
Can we watch that that show again with Adam and Eve?
Not yet. Otherwise, the human race would not have died. Did you guys get it?
Yeah.
Okay, question six.
Did the human race die?
Well, now humans have to die. Before they ate the apple, humans did not have to die. Do you get it?
Yeah. How would the earth have been big enough for all of us if we didn't die?
God figures things out. I don't have that answer. Yeah.
Maybe we could live underground or in the sky, or we could just...
Maybe we just... I don't know. So... the last question is, how smart were Adam and Eve, and how was he able to classify all the species of life on the earth without Google search?
Google search.
Actually, Adam and Eve were dumb, and Adam just had to randomly get stuff.
Okay.
Like, he was like, oh, I'm going to get this and that, and then he looked like him, so they go together.
He started classifying things because he's the mind of God, right? That's really true. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. So if you had the mind of Christ without any sin, how smart would you be? You'd be exceptional. If you had the mind of Christ without sin, you'd be wiser than Solomon. Okay? So when we watch the next video... it's about the fall, and we're going to ask the questions. Who caused the fall? Why did he do it? Who brought death and disease into the world? Why do people blame God for bad things that happen? And what did we inherit from Adam's sin?
Just
what is depravity? Why is it important to understand it? Did Adam have free will? And do people have free will today if they're depraved? So I thank you, Jesus.
I want it on you.
No, no, I'm doing Bible. I thank you, God, for teaching us from your word. Thank you, God, that my children can learn from your word. Lord God, I ask that you would help teach us how to record what we're learning and to honor you. To honor you, God. Amen. Micah, I'm going to send this to you so that you can do your write-up on it.